Father, we thank you for this evening. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thine commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thine mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, and so will I meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Make me understand the word of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I hid, have I laid before me. I will run the way of thy commandments, and thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, that I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, that I shall keep thy law. Yea, will I observe it with my whole heart. You're making me go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimony, not covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken down me in thy ways. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, and you have quickened me unto righteousness. Father, we thank you for this evening. And thank you for a stir of many hearts in the direction of your word. Oh, for your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. After these sessions, Lord, will we have greater depths of delight in your word. There shall be ceaseless fountains, unending, flowing out of our spirits, fresh of your word. And by this we say, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon us in a greater measure. For your word is powerful, it goes forth, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing both soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And so we will speak your word. Go ahead and delight in the word of the Lord. Just delighting in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The written word. The spoken word. You say, your word is my delight. Your word is my delight. Your word is my delight. People of God, what we're having right now is meditation. Is meditation. So you can almost be repeating the words that I speak. I mean, when I was reading the psalm, you could have been saying it to yourself and putting yourself right in there. Remember, I told you it's to think upon. It's to matter. It's to speak. It's to roar. He's a life person. And he is the word of God. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we go quickly into our study for 5 p.m. We have been looking at ways to renew the mind. Well, I call that under the banner or the auspices of the inward witness. You know, before we get into the teaching, there are a lot of you who have gotten to experience the inward witness, but you neglect it. Right? There's a danger of doing that. It's like, I got angry at my kid sister. Because you never seem to get her when you call her. But because you have put your phone every time on nobody should worry you or nobody should disturb you, how would you know when there are emergency situations? You wouldn't know. So you see, in following the inward witness, following the voice of God, if you're somebody that always neglects, it comes, you neglect. You have an impression on your heart, you neglect. You have compassion on your heart, you neglect. You have an agony, you neglect. You have a a peace. You substitute for a war. You neglect. You wake up, you have a strong desire to pray. You neglect. You see, when you do that frequently, you train your spirit to not pick the right impulses. And thereby, you know, he would not also transmit so much of what he wants you to do to you. So it becomes dangerous when you are fond of doing that. You're fond of just letting go what God lays on your heart. I've taught you all of this. We're moving into meditation. But you see, like I said, the renewing of a mind is what will help you to do this. And we spoke about how that the mind can renew, can be renewed, right? It is when we involve ourselves in meditation. Now, we looked at meditation, how important it was. I'm going to be talking about how important it is. And we said that renewing of the mind will entail re-educating, remolding, you know, your reasoning, your mind set. It's called a mindset because the mind is set in a certain direction. You know, your thought patterns and all of those. It's the power of meditation that actually transforms, right? So we saw how that in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, right? So he delights in the word of God. He loves to keep his mind on it. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he doth meditate on day and night. He keeps his mind stayed on it day and night, season in, season out. He's in season, he's out of season. He's constant, instant, in season, out of season with the word of God. Then he says that the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord and he keeps his mind staying on it, right, in conjunction with his mouth. I told you that in meditation, there's going to be involving an activity of the mind and of the mouth. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruits in season. His leaves shall also not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything that he does, because his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he keeps on his mind and on his lips, he has prosperity in all things. So we're looking at meditation, which gives birth to acting out the word. You see, when you've not meditated on the word long enough, or you've not meditated on the concept of what the word of God says concerning anything long enough, you are more likely to act in the flesh. You're more likely to do contrary to what the word of God says. It's meditation that actually bets forth a practicing of the word. So anybody who is known not to practice the word, I can tell you, is somebody who has never pondered considerably on the word that is spoken. You know, I believe strongly that Joshua, you see, when Potiphar's wife threw herself at him, and she was rich. In fact, she could have connived with Joshua to make him head of other, you know, chief service in the palace. Even more head than what the husband had said, because now she also belongs to him. But I believe that Joseph had stayed on the word of God long enough, such that the moment he saw Potiphar throwing herself at him, he knows that is not something to do. Now, don't be mistaken. Potiphar's wife must have been a very beautiful woman. If you know how queens are treated, you must know that they are very beautiful. There are certain times for several weeks, 6 weeks into 12 weeks, they are discharged. They are separated from people. And then the eunuchs are sent to them. The eunuchs are people who are castrated. They don't have any sexual desire. They are sent into them. And then they bath them with various ornaments and various liniments and various... All the men, they are bathed with them. So these are people who are not ugly. And before a king should get married, of course, your women all around the city would have come to display themselves, would have shown themselves to the king as to whether they were worthy to be chosen of the king. So she was not somebody that when you saw, you say, the Spirit of God is upon me. No, she was definitely somebody that if you saw, you're going to say, that's a beautiful woman. But guess what? Joseph had hid the word of the Lord in his heart. He had hid it. That if he saw something that was not it, he was going to run. Now, running is the alternative because he couldn't have stayed. If he stayed, he would have been conquered. Most definitely. A beautiful woman, he would have been conquered. So he had to take to his heels. And later on, he's accused wrongly. So oftentimes, when we find ourselves falling into spots, we fall in for certain temptations. We fall in for certain things. It means that we have not thought on it long enough such that it takes its central seating in our minds. So in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I told you it's a function of the mind and it's a function of the heart. I have a beautiful story for you today on meditation. I'm going to show it to you. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. So it's in the meditation of the word of God day and night is what causes you to be able to do and to practice the word of God that is written. That thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Then thy profiting may appear unto all. The reason is why people are in a dark room and, or maybe people are in a room and suddenly the light goes off. And it's like they should disappear from the room. Some of you are like that. Receive, what do you call it? I don't even know what you should receive. They suddenly will disappear from the room. They will disappear right now. The lights are off. Like, thick darkness. They are the only one in the place. They have disappeared. Because they say, at least there should be light somewhere. Some of the men with even chests are here laughing, but they know that once the light goes off, the whole thick darkness, like, I need to find some source of light here now. You say, what will happen? Is it a Amadodo? You decided talking to you about Amadodo and Papa Dodo in primary 2 and go all of those things. You are still dwelling on that. Because they have not seen that. Say, what do you call it? But this thing, honestly, it was really bizarre. When you start watching Chewa, those times when we watch Chewa and then they put off the light. Because, you see, because we have meditated on Chewa too much, you feel like, the light has to be on. Yeah, go. Hey, those sounds were amazing. And they're burying them and all of those things. So when they put up the lights now, you are seeing that no. Let me find some light. If not. So it can tell you how powerful the mind is. Right? Then imagine you now have God's word on your mind. We said the word meditate. The Greek word there was melitao, M-E-L-E-T-A-O. The Hebrew word haga. It implies to ponder, right? To revolve in one's mind. Such that you now begin to utter, you begin to speak, you begin to roar. The same to yourself. So, I can tell you the reasons why Christians are not growing and Christians are not amounting to all the Word of God says is because this functional activity has been despised. Oh, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures from the time that thou were a child. You've known the Holy Scripture. How did he know? Of course, he had been taught. You know, sometimes meditation is not seen the way it's seen. But when you go to, you know, a place, Sunday school, and they say, yes, John 3:16 says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's meditation. It's to use the mind and then to follow in with speaking. Now, like I said, it could be muttering where it's under your breath. Nobody can hear you. But you're speaking to yourself what the Word of God says. It could be speaking. It could be speaking out loud. It could also be roaring, which means to shout it out loud, convincingly. So, you're going to observe this day and night. It means that there's a consistency to it. And a devotion of time and attention to it. We saw also yesterday how in James 1:21-25, how that we ought not to be forgetful hearers. And I said that the word forgetful there is one that does not think upon. It's not to lose memory, it's to think upon. We don't think upon. We should not be forgetful hearers. But rather, we're supposed to be continuing in the Word of God. We're supposed to be thinking on and speaking the Word of God. Maybe the final session, I'll just show you practically, maybe today into tomorrow, some practical ways that you're going to involve yourself in meditation. But we're going to see a scripture that points to this activity very practically. So, when you do this, remember, you will be able to prove what is the good, what is the acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. You see, have you met somebody and maybe it's clear on the person that you are not going to do well? And the person is also not serious. The person is not a diligent person. But the person some way, somehow thinks that I'm going to do well. And sometimes you wonder, can't you see? You see, it's because we never take time to ponder on things that change our lives. You know, sometimes when there are flaws, you know, in character, it's because you don't pay attention to yourself. If you pay attention, you see that I talk too much. I talk too much. You meet someone and the person has spoken 1 hour. Then the person just finished talking 1 hour and the person says, I don't even like talking. Or, what did you just do? Was that not, the person has spoken for 1 hour, but the person finishes in 1 hour and tells you that, I don't really like talking. Or, if you sat down and you pondered on your life, you see that, no. How many, when did I start? 2:13. 2:13, I spoke at 3:14, 1 hour, 1 minute. And I said, I don't like talking. It's the same way with meditation. We will be able to attest and affirm of everything that Jesus Christ says we are. we'll be able to affirm all that God says we are. It's going to be via meditation. It's going to be via meditation. We're going to have enough staying of the word on our hearts to produce faith that sucks certain illness out for a very long time. You know, a great woman of God shares an experience, and she used to have flu every October. And apparently, she'll always say, as for me, every October, I have flu. No matter whether I get a flu shot, an anti-flu, whatever, I'll still have flu. October is my month of normally getting flu. So she kept on saying this. And truly, she said it never failed for once. Every time was the time where she would get flu. Now, what is she doing? Of course, she's speaking the word. She's meditating on the word. She is pondering over it, and she speaks that all the time. Until she got a hold on the word of God. And she started to say, no. No. I don't have any flu. This October, I will not have any flu. And guess what? In that month, she didn't get the flu. So, what you keep your mind on and your words following becomes so. If you're going to grow in what the Word of God says, you're going to have to think on the Word of God. You're going to have to think on the Word of God. You're going to have to revolve the Word of God in your mind. And guess what? Such that you speak it to yourself and you affirm that it's true in your life. You speak it to yourself and you affirm that it's true in your life. You ponder about it. I'm going to show you how. You ponder about it. 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 And then you speak it to yourself. It must overwhelm you. You must be convinced at it. You know, typical homemade example of meditation. You see, when somebody does something to you and it really hurts you, but you don't tell them that it hurts you, then maybe you leave the house. Then maybe you were 20% hurt, but you leave the house. Then the moment you leave the house, you see, you leave the room. Then you say, hey, this person. And that was what he said to me. He said that I was a fool. Hey. Nipa, he said that to me. Hey. That's meditation. But this time, he's meditating on the wrong stuff. Did this to me. Hey. Then you see that the anger switches to like 45%. Because what are you doing? You are flipping over, revolving, turning. You're trying to see different aspects of what the person could have. Hey. Then that's when it will now occur to you. Go and check the definition of a fool. Then you now go to Google. Maybe you understood fool, but you didn't really. You want more light on the insult. Then you go to check Google to be sure that what the person said. So you Google the thing. Say, ha! Ha! it has jumped to 60% because you've now gotten revelation of the words that were spoken. And then you now say, no, I'm going back home. I'm going back home. So 70%. There has been meditation. 70%. I'm going to confront. This nonsense, I won't take it again. This thing, I've been taking it for too long. In fact, I'm angry. Hey, even somebody should hold me. Now the thing is becoming a lot more than it was just naturally said. What are you doing? There is revelation as to what has been spoken, because you have been able to stay on it. You've been able to ponder on it. You've been able to stick to it. And there's more light in the insult. There is more revelation in the insult. Now, in the same way, imagine just a simple scripture. Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want. You say it to yourself. You think on it. Before you realize, you're curious, what's the shepherd? Oh, it means one that watches over his flock. Out of the window, because you've been able to stay long on it in your mind, you understand what is said, then there is a response of faith in the word that has been spoken or the word that has been written that you are now speaking. So I told you, the written word was written to be spoken. Reverend Mark Harkins says that the written word was written to be spoken. It was written to be said. So as you think on it, there are words to be spoken. You know, many of you in this season are going to experience a freshness in your walk with God that you have not experienced in a long time. Because there's going to be another fountain of God's grace as you stay on the living word. And as you speak that word over yourself. So you will have to, in every situation, get the word of God that addresses that situation. Think on it and speak it over and over and over and over again to yourself. Convince yourself of what the word of God is saying. Genesis chapter number 24, NIV version, verses 62 24 62 to 67 NLT. I could read it, I have it here, but I just want everyone to see. So when it's dropped, kindly pause on your comments. We'll take the reading and then I will talk just a little on it, and then we'll continue tomorrow. 24:62, but I'm hoping you're putting it into practice. Right? Make sure you're putting it into practice. Okay? Tomorrow, this morning, tomorrow evening. Putting it into practice. So here is Isaac. Okay, thank you. The comment should pause. Okay. Okay. Okay, I could work with NIV, but I want NLT. So, Michaela, thank you. Give me NLT. NLT gives a light on something I would want you to see. That's very important. Great. So, meanwhile, Isaac, whose home was in Negev, had returned from, when I was reading this, I was like, Be Lahai Roy. Right? So he had returned from there. One evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields. Now, I'm told, I know a lot of people always think about meditation, like you sit down in a chair, that's great. There could be meditation lying. There could also be meditation walking. Right? I've not actually had lots of people talk about walking, but there's also meditating walking. So, he was meditating in the fields. I'm sure he was thinking, pondering, staying while he walked in the fields. He looked up and saw the camels coming. When Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted from her camel. "Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us?" she asked the servant. And he replied, "It is my master." So Rebecca covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done. And Isaac brought Rebecca into his mother Sarah's tent. And she became his wife. He loved her deeply. And she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. Now, this is Isaac, right, in the fields. What is he doing? He is meditating. In that meditation, he has a vision. That's a physical vision. I'm talking about a physical vision. His eyes looked up. Do you see that? Immediately he looked up. I mean, the moment, what do you call it? Rebecca looked up, seeing Isaac, while Isaac gave himself to meditation. She now stretches out, sees Isaac, gives herself to Isaac, and then Isaac gets to marry her. Some of you are looking for how to make your way prosperous. Eh? You will find treasures that you look for when you give yourself to this art of meditation. And that's why it's without arguments. I've shown it to you in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3. I've shown it to you in Joshua, verse 1 to 8. I've shown it to you in 1 Timothy, verse 4 to 15. There's no argument about what I'm saying. And all of them talk about profiting. It talks about prosperity. It talks about, you know, bringing forth fruits in your season to where to prosper. So, Isaac is given to meditation. And it's via meditation, he finds something that he treasures. Rebecca. What was he doing? He was walking in the fields, pondering, speaking, Hagar. Many of you are going to be prosperous in Jesus' name as you begin to practically engage yourself in this activity of having the Word of God, beholding it, not forgetting what manner of man His Word says about you, looking into that perfect law of liberty, continuing therein, and not being a forgetful hearer. Then you are going to be prosperous. You are going to be prosperous. You know, one time someone told me that, the person left a place and she couldn't remember the things that were in the place. And when she told me that, she just could remember a few. You know the counsel I gave her? I said, you know what? You need to sit down. You need to sit down. Then I took her to a very short procedure. Do you remember your room door? Yeah. I said, just imagine that you're in front of your room door. She said, yes. Okay, open your room door. Then she opened. Then I said, do you remember everything that was in your room? She said, yeah. I said, pick a pen, pick a paper. What do you see? You'll be able to remember everything. Even if you like, you can enter, open the wardrobe, look into the first, second wardrobe. Some of you should just try this while I'm here. You know everything that is in a room. You know everything. You can tell everything. You can say, okay, now I've entered. Just before I entered, there was a doormat. On the left, there was a bed. Then a TV. The fridge was here. Even on top of the fridge, I used to have like four cups or four. That's how it was. Oh, okay, I've come into the kitchen. There was a sink. There was some green thing that I used to put my plates in. Okay. You can't lose anything. So imagine if you have the Word of God on your sight like this. So Isaac is taking some time walking in the fields, thinking, pondering. Then his heart discovers the treasure. Now the treasure here, we're going to be treasure hunting, right? Treasure hunting. Now, it might not be exactly wife in quotes, but it could be also wife because it will make your way prosperous. Oh, yes, your way prosperous. He's not talking about what way. Your way prosperous. Delighting in the Lord is going to have your way prosperous. Say, Pastor, I have five guys. They all seem to like me. They all seem to. If you will take some time staying on the Word of God and thinking and speaking that I have direction, I'm seeing God's Word rightly, I'm seeing the right person, the Lord's highlighting the right person on my heart, in my mind, I have them, I see them, it will be clear to you long before you realize. So there's no ambiguity with meditation. You keep the Word of God on your heart. Some people, the reasons why they are sick, hoping nobody is. Reasons why they are sick is because they have meditated long enough on the sickness. They see themselves sick. They've thought sick. Everything that they have to actually see themselves is sick. And so they speak, I'm sick, I'm that. And then they finally see that they are sick throughout. How about changing your mind? Change your mind. Stop seeing yourself as having that condition. Stop seeing yourself as having that problem. Stop seeing yourself as being weak. Stop seeing yourself as being that. Now change your mind and keep your mind stayed on all that God's Word says about you. Then follow it up with speaking it, convincing yourself to believe it, speaking it all around you. And that's the power that comes with transformation. Change your mind from I'm broke, I'm this, to the Lord supplies my needs. all my needs are met. You change your mind and you will find out that, let me tell you something, whatever it is that you keep your mind on, there will be angels to respond in that manner. It's a function of what your consciousness is on. If you're always conscious of the fact that you are helpless, you are without this, you can't do anything, then it means that you're also going to be able to attract the devil's cohorts to bring to pass what you believe. In fact, one of the ways where we can see, you know, very strong manifestation of angels is a consciousness. Is a consciousness of the mind. Spoken out. All things work together for my good. And long before you realize, all things will start working together for your good. You would be amazed of how it works. But that's how it works. That's how God put it to work. It's the same on spiritual growth. The more you stay on the word of God, the more clearer God's word becomes to you. So this evening, we're going to pause in on meditation. And you're going to practice this. Sometimes I like to get up and look through a sector. Because there's a part of my house that has a mountainous view. And sometimes I see the sun fall into the mountain and I don't see it again. And I just look at it. While pondering on the word of God and speaking it again. Sometimes you could lie in your bed. You take a scripture. Maybe, for example, you're reading Jesus and the woman who was healed of her infirmity. And you see Jesus and you see the woman. Now you get to realize, oops, Jesus is not here, so I am here now. So you begin to see it, you envision it. That the woman stretched forth her hands and touched you. And that was how you were healed. Or that was how she was healed, because there's power on the inside of you. People of God, there are many things to stay your mind on and to speak. What's your own way of believing that when you're going to give birth, you struggle? How did you get there? How did you get there? How did you get there? Is it, nope, I see my children every time. Healthy deliveries all over. Keep your mind on the right things. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're learning to keep our minds pondering, revolving around, such that we speak in Jesus' name. Our walk with you gets better every single time. Thank you for clarity as touching this subject matter in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so our time is up. Tomorrow we continue on the same subject matter. There are treasures that will be discovered as you walk in the fields, pondering and meditating. Treasures of God's word, treasures of your life, treasures of your business. Treasures of what next step to take. Some of you are confused as to what next step to take. You shouldn't be. It should never be. Because all of these treasures are hidden in your ability to stay on the word of God, ask of him, and speak that which you know. One of the things I sense God tell us tonight is that there's going to be clarity in lives. There's going to be, like, your life is going to be clear. You'll not be confused about life, confused about this, confused about that. There's going to be clarity. Because in your meditations, God will reveal to you. Your meditations, God will speak to you. Your meditations, God will reveal His plan, His purposes to you. In Jesus' name.